Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
All right, hello, welcome in. It's a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report. We're live and underway, and we are one day away from the start of the Big Ten Conference Tournament, and of course 2 days away from IU's first game in the Big Ten Tournament. It'll take place at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and they will take on Ohio State on Thursday. So on Thursday's show, the IU Network coverage will begin at 11:30, and we're going to be coming on early. We'll tell you how early tomorrow to do at least a full hour, if not more, for you on Thursday heading into IU's first game of the Big Ten Conference. And, of course, if Indiana wins, they're going to keep playing those early day games. I don't know what I think of that. It's a little different from anything else. Indiana did just play a noon game at Assembly Hall on Sunday to close out the regular season. But, obviously, a different look back-to-back days to play that early game, but Indiana, I think, with an opportunity here to make some noise. The question is, for this Hoosier team, what do they have to do to make the NCAA tournament? That's what everybody wants to know. There's some varying opinions out there. In fact, some of the bracketologists out there right now have IU in a couple different positions. I think there may be one or two that actually have Indiana in the tournament. Most of them have Indiana just outside of the tournament, so a win over Ohio State, who's a very similar team. A lot of people also have them in a very similar position as they do Indiana. Could be big for multiple reasons, because not only do you get another win on that win total, but as far as in the mind of the committee, you just beat another team that's on the chopping block potentially as well. So I think, and obviously there's nothing about this that we didn't know, but Thursday's game is huge because it's a game Indiana needs for its resume. It's a game Indiana really should win, to be quite honest, with how they've been playing, although it'll be interesting now that Caleb Wesson is back for Ohio State. It's a game against another bubble-type team, and also really to be safe and to almost for sure punch their ticket into the NCAA tournament. Ideally, I think Indiana needs to win not only Thursday, but come back Friday and do so, and of course that could be the opportunity to play Michigan State for the third time this season. Indiana has swept them so far. Can they do that again? It's hard to beat a team three times, but Indiana is playing really well. Michigan State has had some injuries and some things over the course of the year that they've been able to fight through, and they're okay. They're obviously deserving of the seed they got and the finish in the conference that they have, but not an easy game, especially if that really does come down to Indiana needing two wins to get to the tournament. So we'll see how things go. I want to apologize. I've got a cold, so my voice is in and out a little bit today. I'll do my best to get through the hour, but definitely did not want to not be with you on this big week of college basketball with everything that's going on out there and a lot of excitement to get ready for the start of IU basketball. The changing weather, I love the 65-degree Saturday that we had coming out of those regional games. Other than a little rain, it felt really good. But oftentimes, boy, that can have a big effect on your allergies, and it always seems to catch me at this time of year. And, of course, this is one of the most important times, I feel like, for the show. We appreciate everybody listening throughout the season and throughout the full year. We're here every day. But this is a big week for college basketball, a big week for the Big Ten, a big week for the Hoosiers, and I'm not sure that anyone thought things would be this much on the line for Indiana at this point as they head to the conference tournament. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. joining us on the program today. We've got some Hoosier headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in segment one. In segment two, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star will join us, presented by Coffee Crossing. We'll talk IU basketball with Greg. We'll talk about Indiana's big win on Sunday. We'll talk some Romeo Langford as well, and then we'll get into some other things with Greg while he's with us. Also, later in the program, let's go ahead. Let's start previewing the IU-Ohio State game. Let's talk about the return of Caleb Wesson for Ohio State. Let's talk about some of the matchups, and we'll do that with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, who will join us later on in the program today. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at some Hoosier headlines. A summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. And I tell you what, Hoopsters is where I will be Thursday for that 12:30 tip-off. As soon as we get done here at the Big X and we're figuring out exactly what time we're going to come on Thursday, and I'll have more details for you Wednesday on our program. But we'll be at Hoopsters, and we're going to watch that game at Hoopsters. It's a great place to take in IU basketball, so maybe you can make plans to join us there for the IU contest on Thursday. First headline I've got for you, I can't even comprehend right now, to be honest with you. I literally read this about 5 minutes before we came on the air today. Breaking news, the U.S. attorney in Boston has unsealed indictments against at least 47 people in a nationwide college admissions cheating and recruitment scheme, including current and former D1 coaches at Yale, Georgetown, USC, Wake Forest, and Texas. And I'm going on to read a report of someone from the Boston paper. It says, now counting 49 people across 7 indictments, Stanford, UCLA, San Diego also involved. The scheme, according to one indictment, involved parents paying the founder of a college prep business $15,000 to $75,000 to have someone take the SAT or the ACT for their child. So I don't know, when they say former and current D1 coaches at Yale, Georgetown, USC, Wake Forest, I have no idea if they're talking about men's basketball, another sport. I have no clue. You would think if it was listed that way that they're probably talking about basketball. But that's so much information right there that your mind wanders and it's hard to fully understand how that could tie into things. But definitely some interesting news coming out earlier. Now I'm seeing another tweet where it looks like it's like Yale's women's soccer coach, Georgetown's tennis coach. I don't see any basketball coaches. Texas's men's tennis coach, UCLA's men's soccer coach, Stanford's sailing coach. And I don't see, again, any Division I basketball coaches or any basketball coaches at all named in this thing. But I guess it just kind of tells you right now things are crazy. You never really know what's going on. So this is going to be interesting from a whole nother level of the college recruitment and bribery scheme that was uncovered a few years ago, year and a half ago, whatever it's been now, to see what this is. I don't know that it's going to touch any basketball programs, but definitely some underhanded, shady stuff. And I think just the little bit I've read, it shows that it goes on with a lot of our society today, especially in college sports, not just the big ones. I mean, we know it's there in men's basketball, obviously. I think it's safe to say it exists in football as prevalent as it does in men's basketball, though there really hasn't been anything, you know, big storylines or any bust or any FBI wiretaps on the football side, like maybe there have been for men's basketball. But this definitely is an interesting deal. We'll follow this, I'm sure, and see how closely it touches anybody in this area or schools in this area. But another kind of just mind-boggling headline this morning with that. Also, bracketology. Indiana, are they in the tournament? What do they need to get into the tournament if they're not? Going to be very interesting for this Indiana team. It's going to come down the stretch, I think, to find out what happens. I saw that Andy Bottoms of Bracketology has Indiana potentially as a 12 seed in Hartford out west And, of course, in the first round, that is. But still a lot of work to do for Indiana. Andy has the Indiana team as one of the last four in his latest update of his bracket. And he writes with Indiana, quote, "The Hoosiers won their last four regular season's games to play their way back into the bubble picture. A sweep of Michigan State represents two of IU's six quad one wins. And the committee chair's comments about being diligent in researching the impact of injuries could certainly come into play here. Still, the Hoosiers have 14 losses, and no team has ever received an at-large with more than 15 defeats. And while none of those fall into quad three or four, the sheer volume of losses still matter. If they can beat Ohio State and knock off Michigan State for a third time, Hoosier fans can breathe a bit easier. Anything less may not be enough." So the good news is, Indiana fans, that IU is playing well. It's not like they're in the middle of some big losing streak like they were earlier this year. It's not like they're playing terrible basketball. It's not like there is a big disconnect and a lack of effort that you see from this team. That's gone away, knock on wood, at least for now. This team is playing really well. If I'm Ohio State, I don't want to see this Indiana team in the first round of the Big Ten Conference. Really, if I'm anybody, including Michigan State, who Indiana's already beaten twice, I'm thinking, gosh, they beat us twice when they really weren't playing their best basketball. Now they're playing really good. They've got confidence. Maybe they've got our number. Can we beat them? And again, it's hard to beat a team three times. I don't like that side of it for Indiana. But Indiana is playing really well. So as daunting of a task as it might seem for Indiana to have to beat Ohio State, which I think they can do, and for Indiana have to beat potentially Michigan State again. And I say potentially because you don't know what can happen. Michigan State has to play as well. You don't know what have to happen. Obviously, the potential is there for Indiana, I think, to get it done. That's not going to be easy. It's not going to be tough. And I take that back. I think I don't have the bracket up. I think Michigan State does have a bye into that second day or really the third day of play on Friday when they could potentially meet up with the winner of that Indiana-Ohio State. I'll have to pull up the bracket and refresh myself. It's been a long day. But nonetheless, I'm not daunted by that if that truly is what Indiana has to do, if they've got to beat Ohio State and beat Michigan State for a third time. It's a big task on paper. It's obviously a big task to beat Michigan State three times in one season, but this team's playing really well. They're winning, and they're not just winning by a couple points. They're winning handily. They're putting games away. They're putting games out of reach for teams. And I know the last couple games have been Rutgers and Illinois, not necessarily the top of the conference, but still Indiana doing some good things right now. We'll see if they can get it done. Whatever it takes to get into the tournament, we'll see if they can get it done. I think they're playing pretty well and have put themselves at an opportunity to have a real chance to do so. That's the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with fresh made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Don't forget to drop by Thursday and Friday for IU in the Big Ten Tournament. Of course, Thursday should be a lot of fun. The game tips at 12:30. We hope to see you there. That's where I'll be headed to watch the IU game Thursday when we wrap up our show. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Greg Doyle, presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg is the sports columnist with the Indianapolis Star. We'll talk IU basketball, Big Ten Tournament, Romeo Langford, and a lot more coming up next right here on the Big X Sports Radio.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we are back. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, always with us on Tuesdays, presented by Coffee Crossing. Brighten your day at Coffee Crossing. Come enjoy our warm atmosphere, friendly service, great drinks, and delicious pastries from 410 Bakery. Stay inside or use our convenient drive-thru at Coffee Crossing. Greg, there is so much to talk about today.
Apparently so, because you're getting to me a little bit late. I'm thinking, like, they like having me on the show, don't they? Well, let's call them 5 minutes late, because whoever was first was more interesting.
It was just,
I doubt that. We'll see.
It was just me, Greg. That's a buzzkill. It was just
and
me.
And I'm sure of it.
Doing the headlines. One of the things that ran us over a little bit, did you see the this college admissions scandal that came out today in a Boston court?
No, good heavens, no. What happened?
I'm reading from, and I thought at first it listed some Division I schools. I thought at first maybe basketball, but it ended up being coaches from men's tennis and various sports that maybe you don't hear about that much. I'm reading a tweet right now from Dan Wetzel. It says, in a college admissions scandal, feds allege Yale women's soccer coach Rudy Meredith helped non-recruits get into school by saying they were recruits. Enormous payouts, $1.2 million for one applicant. And this names a lot of different schools that apparently were caught up in a similar scheme, and there may have even been like a ringleader in this. I'm not exactly sure. I'm just putting different tweets and stories I've been able to read over the break together. But just when you think you've got the world of sports figured out and things maybe are calming down from the – well, I shouldn't even say that – from the college basketball scandal, because there's some court cases I know set for that as well that could bring out more information. But then this is crazy.
Yeah, I'm always reminded of that line in Jurassic Park, when they try to manufacture dinosaurs, but they want to monitor the population, so they manufacture only female dinosaurs. Well, the dinosaurs just instinctively figure out that their lives are at risk going forward if they can't procreate. So they found a way to switch over, and some of them became males. They started having babies. Hence, we had a great movie. And the line in that movie is Jeff Goldblum says, "Life finds a way." I'm always reminded of that when I hear things like what you just said, because cheaters find a way. Scumbags find a way. Weak people, greedy people, they always find a way. So just as you said earlier, just when you think you've kind of heard it all or you've got it all figured out, there will always be something tomorrow. I mean, the idea that a Yale coach would help some kid get into Yale for that much money. On the one hand, like, you kind of get it. I'm sure the guy didn't make a ton of money. You're a Yale, you know, Olympic sports coach, and you're offered $1 million. On the one hand, I get the temptation. On the other hand, you know, the world's full of hard choices, kids, and we got to make the right ones.
Absolutely. This is crazy. And a couple Hollywood stars, I don't know if they have, it looks like, and I can't think of her name without pulling the story back up, but she was in Full House. I think she has a daughter that this report said went to one of the other schools was USC, and it maybe because she's involved in it somehow. And I don't know if it's her daughter that was, given a false recruiting to make her look like an athlete or what. But just when this and it's a lot like what happened. And I don't even know. It may have been a Tuesday when the college scandal broke when we had you with us. I'm not even sure. But when this stuff first breaks, you're like, you're reading different tweets and different reports, and there's different names and different schools, and you're trying to put all this together in your head, and it's just impossible. And then, of course, once you finally start to get the documents and have more time for great writers like yourself to summarize this for us, and I know Wetzel's all over it right now, but you're like, I see how this ties together, and it's just a crazy scheme that maybe that's why it's a scheme. Normal people wouldn't think to put all this together, but just crazy.
Wetzel's as good as it gets for stuff like this and for anything, but he's as good as it gets. It's aggravating that it's the kind of people that are guilty of making these payoffs, not the coach for accepting them, but the parents who make these payoffs, by definition, if you can afford the payoff in the first place, your kids already have a whole lot of wind in their sails.
Sure.
Because they're your kids, right? I mean, they're not living in a housing project somewhere. If you've got that kind of money, your kids have a whole lot going for them already. But go ahead and tilt the system even more in their favor. And it's aggravating. It's insulting to all those parents and kids out there that don't have that and are fighting. It's hard enough to fight cleanly. Now you're fighting cheaters. There was one scandal, really quickly. I was about 10 years ago. Iowa State, their basketball coach. Well, there was a junior college in California. Okay, a JUCO in California, and he would schedule games. He had a side scheduling business. So if you had a basketball team and you wanted to play, if you're Iowa State, for example, and you wanted to play a non-conference game, you could schedule it yourself, or you could pay this guy $50,000, and he'd schedule it for you. And the $50,000 would go to the team you're playing. It's a buy game. On the surface, it's legal. Problem is, this JUCO coach had JUCO recruits. And so colleges were paying this guy $50,000 to schedule a game and all that, and only $35,000 was actually going towards the game. $15,000 was going to the coach, and a recruit was going to the Iowa State coach's team. So, I mean, that was a scandal that was so hard for me to understand. I wrote about that about 10 years ago, and Wayne Morgan was coach at Iowa State, and he got fired, and I did that, and it's one of the things I'm proudest of, actually, just because, you know, cheaters should be busted. And that's the kind of – I'm the only person that ever heard about that, and I'm not patting myself on the back. I mean, someone gave me a tip. But if I hadn't heard about it, nobody ever would have. The point of that being is there's so much cheating going on, and we just hear it's like cockroaches. You see a cockroach in your kitchen, I promise you there's 1,000 more hiding somewhere.
Hmm. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Yeah, crazy stuff. This is going to be interesting to see where this goes. Let's get into some IU stuff, some IU-oriented stuff here. I want to start with the Big Ten postseason awards, which were announced yesterday evening on the Big Ten Network. No surprise, Romeo Langford is on the all-freshman team for the conference. He was not freshman of the year. That went to Brzezicus from Michigan. And also Romeo on the all-Big Ten second team as selected by the coaches, and he was on the third team as selected by the media. Your thoughts on that first?
Well, it's a shame that his season – I say it's a shame. I mean, listen to the awards he just won, but we all – Romeo was – I mean, he was capable of more than that. And this season just hasn't gone – and I realize the guy averaged 16.5 points a game, whatever. And I mean, I know how good his season was, but I also know how good he is, and I know how good his season started. And he's been picking it up of late a little bit. But it's just had you told me in the preseason that's going to happen on March 12th, do you accept that or do you roll the dice? And it's like playing a game show. Will you accept this or will you roll the dice on what's under door B? I'd have said, no, give me door B because Romeo's better than what you just said. But that's the way the season went out.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Archie Miller said this last night on his – coaches show that winning helps your chances with these postseason awards. So to see, and I know Brzezicus, and again, I know I'm butchering his last name, but the season he had plus the season Michigan had probably gave him somewhat of an edge, I would think, in that award to win the Freshman of the Year. The other surprise a little bit to me in the Big Ten awards announced yesterday, senior Juwan Morgan, he was all Big Ten team, third team, as selected by the media, and he was an honorable mention as selected by the coaches. Both of those surprised me a bit.
Yeah, that's, it's not in a vacuum, so I don't have the list in front of me. I don't know who beat him out, but he did better than that last year. And I think his season this year was every bit as good as last year, maybe better, and that's a damn shame. I was hoping you were going to tell me something like, and surprisingly, John Morgan made the first team.
No.
That would make more sense to me than him making honorable mention, to be honest with you, because he was so good, and he was so good in so many ways, and so good in so many ways in a team that didn't have a whole lot. However, having said that, because I listen to Dan Dockett sometimes up here in Indy, and he was asked about Juwan Morgan as a great leader, and should the Pacers draft him, and he went off on him, and there's nothing wrong with Juwan Morgan. But his point was, if you're a great leader, why is your team, losing 12 out of 13 games and underachieving? And that's probably why the coaches didn't vote Juwan better, because just like winning helps Brzezicus or whatever his name is get Rookie of the Year, Freshman of the Year, losing no doubt hurt Juwan Morgan, maybe more than it hurt Romeo, because Juwan's a senior and should apparently do better, I guess. I mean, I'm trying to think what they're thinking.
Yeah, absolutely. So interesting there on both of those.
And I'll say this real quick, and I didn't write this. I thought about writing it Sunday from the IU regular season finale. It was senior day, and Juwan had himself a nice day, and a real nice day. The story, I thought, the bigger story is IU's surge. They're surging in the postseason. You were going to ask me about that in a minute, and I think. But I went there thinking, well, before the IU surge began, I thought, you know what, on senior day, I'm going to write an appreciation of Juwan Morgan. Because I don't want to like get in the other names, and because there's so many players I've covered in the last 4 or 5 years here that I really like. But if I had to name if I had to name an all Big Ten team of guys I just really liked as people, as players, the whole deal, he's one of my five. And in fact, he's one of my top two. It's him and Dakota Mathias at Purdue are my two favorites.
Interesting. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, our guest. I've got to talk to you about this IU team. You were there for senior day. This team is playing different. And yeah, they've still got some work ahead of them if they're going to make the NCAA tournament. But beating Ohio State and then maybe beating Michigan State for a third time this season, as crazy as that sounds, it doesn't sound as daunting as what it may have a few weeks, 2-3 weeks ago, because this team, Greg, I think is playing really good basketball.
I come bearing better news than that. If they beat Ohio State, they're in. They don't need to beat Michigan State a third time. Yeah, they're in. They're in. And I get if that means if they win that game and lose to Michigan State, they're 18-15. That'll be the record. They're in. And in a vacuum, 18-15 doesn't look very good. In a vacuum, you lose 12 out of 13 games in midseason. That doesn't look very good. Well, this season wasn't played in a vacuum. This season was played this year with unique circumstances, and they're just, as they say, the bubble's soft. they got to pick somebody, you know. And if IU's not in, then whoever gets in ahead of IU, you're going to look at their resume and say, well, they can't get in. That resume sucks. Well, yeah, but someone's getting in. And IU is that someone if they beat Ohio State. You can mark that down.
Interesting. I know there's a lot of thought out there that it would take two more. But I think
no, because they've got – sorry, but they've got too many great wins. And I realize they've got 15 losses. I get it. But I just – rather than repeat what I just said, just go back to what I just said about the bowl being soft. But they've got too many great wins, beating Michigan State twice. Not as great as it looked maybe in the preseason, but still, that's pretty great. Beating Marquette, great. Beating Louisville, great. That's too many great wins, and they've got no terrible losses. I mean, losing 12 out of 13 is not good, but you know the NCAA has – they break teams down into quadrant 1, 2, 3, and 4. And IU's got – IU's one of like a dozen teams in the country that has the combination of quadrant 1 wins, which is Michigan State to the world, and they've got – I don't know what the number is, 5 or 6, whatever, and then zero quadrant 4 losses. Only a dozen teams in America have that on their resume line. IU's one of them. That doesn't mean they're a top 3 seed. I'm not saying that. But if you've done something that only 12 teams in the country have done and you're one of them, I'm not even sure they have to beat Ohio State to get in, to be honest with you, but they beat Ohio State, it's over.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, our guest. What has changed with this team? I mean, it's clear that they're playing better basketball. It's clear that their effort level is just completely different than what it was 3 weeks or so ago. There's a lot that it's clear has changed with this team. What do you think it is? Is it something that's clicked with the team maybe off the court that's bled over to the floor that's helped them cohesively as a unit on the floor? But how do you go from that low point Indiana basketball was to finishing the game with a 4-game winning streak, and even before those 4 wins, being very, very competitive in some big games and playing in the way that they are, winning games, not just by 2 or 3 points to keep that streak going, but winning games handily?
Yeah, and beating teams that beat them earlier. Rutgers beat them earlier. Yeah, beating Rutgers is not a huge deal, I get it, but when that's the same team that embarrassed you up in Piscataway and now you're embarrassing them, you're different. You're not who you were. Yeah, they've had 6 good games in a row. They've won 4 in a row. They almost beat Purdue and went to the overtime on the road at Iowa, both ranked teams. So that's 6 really good performances in a row, all of them after the low point, rock bottom, was the Minnesota game, when Archie Miller did say this was the deal breaker. He used those words. This game was a deal breaker. And we're going to get some guys' attention. And clearly he did. You're asking me what he did or what happened? I don't know. But I will tell you that Archie pretty much gave us a blueprint himself. I mean, Archie Miller volunteered this after the game Sunday. He said, we've got a group that now, and he made it clear, that now likes to be in the gym. You know, they like to practice now. Okay, well, that's part of it. The other part of it is we've got guys that like to be around each other. He didn't use the word now on that one. But he was clearly talking about why this team is, because he was asked, you know, why are you surging right now? He said those two things. We're a group that now likes to get in the gym, and these guys like to be around each other. And I'm going to assume he meant now on that one too, because there was clearly chemistry problems. You look at the season, nothing else makes sense. I mean, they've had some injuries and yada, 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 yada. But you look at each individual game, nothing makes sense for why this team is so good that they have all those quadrant one wins we talked about earlier, and yet so bad they lost 12 out of 13, and yet now they're surging again. Nothing makes sense other than what Archie said. They're trying harder, and they're willing to practice harder, A, and B, whatever the chemistry problems were, they're over them. And specifically two guys. The two guys I've been hardest on, Justin Smith and Devontae Green, have been great. They've been great. Neither one of them was great Sunday, but they've been great. And I think a lot of it rides with those two guys. Not all of it, but those guys have been great, and IU's coming along for the ride.
I guess to add on to what we're talking about here, I never thought, you know, did I think Indiana could win some games even at their lowest point? Absolutely. I mean, I think we know that they've got talent and the capability to do so, and they went on to do that. But I don't know that I ever thought we'd be sitting here on the week of the Big Ten tournament. The tournament starts tomorrow in Chicago, and I'd be reading stories and talking about it on this radio show about Indiana being – a dangerous team to play, and that there's no way Ohio State wants to play Indiana with how well they've been playing to close out the regular season. Did I think Indiana could bounce back a little bit? Yeah, I was hopeful that they could. I was hopeful that Romeo and Juwan Morgan and those guys would lead that effort to get a couple wins to finish things out. But I don't know that I ever felt like Indiana would be a cohesive unit again that was a, quote, dangerous team, as I've seen them described here some over the last week or so heading into conference play.
I sure wouldn't have bet money on that either. I know that you've asked me several times, several weeks, you know, is it over? Is it over? And I'm pretty sure if you were to go back and play it, and please don't, but I'm pretty sure what I said was it doesn't look good, but we saw what this team did, and you never say never. You just never know, because I always want to leave myself that out. You don't know, and not just because, until the ball goes up, you don't know who's going to win. No, most of the time you know. This is not Chaminade beating Virginia. Most of the time you know who's going to win. With IU, you really didn't know which team was going to show up. And so anyway, them being a dangerous team is surprising, but we're not describing, I don't mean to crap on Butler, but like Butler, nobody, if you told me that today we're saying Butler's a team nobody wants to play, that'd be a shock, because they did nothing all year to show they were dangerous. IU did some stuff earlier this year, you know, beating Michigan State twice, beating the wins I talked about, the players they have. They are dangerous if they're doing things the right way and if they like each other, and apparently both of those are happening. In Archie Miller's own words.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg, sorry about getting to you late. Thanks for the chat today. And we'll do it again next Tuesday. We'll find out, I guess at that point, we'll know for sure what the postseason destination is for this IU team when we talk again.
Yeah, I think on Tuesday you'll find me driving to Dayton for the first four, because that's where IU is going to be.
All right. That's the prediction. We got it down, Greg. Thank you.
Yep, bye.
Greg Doyle, presented by Coffee Crossing. Don't forget, coming later this month, the fourth Coffee Crossing location. Watch out for Coffee Crossing Sellersburg, which is going to be located near Ivy Tech and the I-65 interchange in Sellersburg. That's the segment with Greg Doyle. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back and talk a lot more IU basketball. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com will join us. We'll preview the IU-Ohio State matchup and really take a look at the entire Big Ten bracket, because the action gets started Wednesday night in Chicago, and of course Indiana at it on Thursday. 12:30 is the tip-off, 11:30 is the pregame show, and we'll be on with you prior to that as well for some special coverage leading into IU's second-round game in the Big Ten Conference Tournament. One other note as far as radio goes, Thursday night we're going to be live at Sir Dano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg with the Silver Creek basketball team. We'll have the entire team with us, including head coach Brandon Hoffman, from 7 to 8 p.m. We'll be live on the Big X, but we really would prefer that you came out and join us that evening for dinner at Sir Dano's and meet this team and wish them well as they head to Seymour this weekend for a one-game semi-state in the 3A classification. We'll talk with all the players, we'll talk with the coaches, and we'll send them off to the semi-state on Saturday for a big opportunity with a win to head to Indianapolis in the state championship game the following week. So that will be a lot of fun on Thursday night to get to know some of these Silver Creek players that we've talked about all season long a little bit better, and to hear what this tournament run has been like for them so far and maybe what their dreams are for the next few weeks as well. And, of course, it's always great to catch up with Brandon Hoffman. We'll really break down his thoughts on his opponent, Chris Bisaddix from Indianapolis, when he joins us Thursday night. Again, Sir Dano's right across from Silver Creek High School and Middle School there at the intersection of 31 and 403. It's great pizza. Come out and join us for dinner that evening. The show will start at 7 o'clock. I do expect it to be a full house at Sir Dano's, so if you are planning to come, you might want to get there a little bit before 7 to get your order in so you can enjoy some pizza while you hear from the Silver Creek basketball team. So we'll do that Thursday night. Hope you'll join us in person. If not, we'll have it live for you right here on the Big X Sports Radio. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
The Big Ten Tournament opens tomorrow night in Chicago at the United Center, and Indiana will open play the following day on Thursday. The first game of that Thursday, number 9 seed Indiana will take on number 8 seed Ohio State, a 12:30 p.m. Eastern time tip for Indiana's start in the Big Ten Conference Tournament. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, he's with us today. We're going to talk some IU, some Big Ten Tournament, and even a little bit of recruiting in this final segment of our Tuesday program. Mike, a rematch with Ohio State. It was a narrow loss for the Hoosiers earlier in the season at Assembly Hall in Bloomington. Give us the latest on this Ohio State team. Obviously, the headline going into this game from the Ohio State side of things is that Caleb Wesson and his suspension that I think lasted over three games has come to an end. And Coach Holtman saying earlier this week on the Big Ten conference call with the media, right out of the gate, didn't even have to be asked about it, that Caleb Wesson is going to be eligible to play in this Thursday game against Indiana.
Yeah, he's the leading scorer, I think, on the team, and big bone kid who's really hard for Indiana to guard and on the post. So it makes a big difference. You know, the game in Bloomington went down to the wire. I think there was a really difficult three hit at the shot clock that kind of doomed Indiana, Ohio State, in the last couple minutes. But I like the Indiana's chances in this one. I don't know about you guys, but when you're playing well, four games in a row, and Ohio State has not played well. They were struggling even before they suspended Wesson, and you just don't know how he'll assimilate back into things, having missed the last three games. So, you know, I think it's not a bad draw for Indiana.
Looking at Ohio State's schedule, they have closed the season with three losses to Purdue, which was a bad one, 86-51. Northwestern, 60-58 in Wisconsin, an overtime loss, 73-67 on Sunday to close out the regular season. And by my quick counting here, they've only won two of their last eight games to close the season. So Ohio State has found a slump of their own here to close the season. I got to believe that's good news for Indiana, because there's a lot of things, and we're going to get into some of this here in a minute, a lot of things that have went well and a lot of things that have changed for Indiana over some of these wins and over the last two and a half weeks for this team. But generally, the thing that has changed is there's been more players stepping up, helping with scoring, helping carry some of the load. And when you see Justin Smith, or when you see Robert Fennessy, or when you see another player listed as the high scorer for Indiana, that's taken the load off of Romeo. That's taken the load off of Jawan Morgan. It's allowed them to do other things defensively and help in other areas and made Indiana more hard to guard. I think that's the key thing.
Yeah, the balance scoring. I think the team, just chemistry, the attitude, everything is so much better. And other guys have stepped up. I think it's, you know, the health of the team is better. That we just talked to four of the players about half an hour ago, and those guys, you know, really were hitting on, you know, the importance of having the good bodies for both practice and the games, and how it's made a difference, and how much more competitive the practices have been these last few weeks. And that's kind of, you know, showing up in the games with how they've approached. They've had eliminated a lot of the slow starts and other things that plagued them during the losing skid. I think that, you know, this team has, you know, Juwan has finally arrived after a really tough stretch of games for him. And he's played terrific these last 2 weeks, last two games, I should say, and Big Ten Player of the Week, co-Big Ten Player of the Week. And, you know, there's no reason that, you know, that they can't take that good play, because they, you know, have been had their backs against the wall, which is the kind of the tournament mentality. And the only thing I like to add is that Ohio State's on the bubble as well as Indiana. So winning over Ohio State goes a little bit of a ways in more than one way to getting Indiana into the NCAA.
Mike, I just talked with Greg Doyle about this. Your thoughts on the game Thursday from an NCAA tournament perspective. Is Indiana good if they win that game, or does Indiana have more to do at the Big Ten tournament in Chicago to get in than just win their first game on Thursday?
You know, I would say they would put themselves into a 50-50 position if they win on Thursday. And if they win Thursday and Friday, I would say maybe an 80-90% chance of being selected. That's just, you know, rough odds, because so many factors come from whether it be upsets in the conference tourneys and how some of these other bubble teams do in their first game or two of their tournament. So, that's just my rough guess. I have run through a lot of the bracketology updates. You know, did a full story on it yesterday. Indiana is a lot of the first four out, and a few of the guys have them in now, which means to me they have to win on Thursday, and then we'll see what happens after that. But you know, two wins I think should get them in.
Talking with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com on a Tuesday edition of the program. Outside of Caleb Wesson, getting back to Ohio State here for a moment, outside of Caleb Wesson and his return, and obviously when a player is coming back into the rotation that's been out, you never know, is he going to step back in where he was at before going out? Will it take him a while to get back into the flow of things? How will he fit back in with the other players? We just don't know those things. But outside of him and the threat that we are all aware of that he is for Indiana and the type of player that he is for Ohio State, other things that concern you, other areas of emphasis for this Ohio State team in this Thursday contest?
Well, they're a pretty good defensive team, held Indiana to 52 in that game in Bloomington. You know, they have some shooting. The other Weston is actually a very good player. I think he might have been the leading scorer in the other game that they played in Bloomington. You know, Ohio State, you know, has been pretty good, just not of late. A tournament like this sometimes is the kind of change in the atmosphere, change in situation that brings back a team to the kind of play that they had earlier in the year. So that's, you know, that's a danger. And I think just a neutral environment, you just never know what to expect when you get away from this home game situation and you get to a NBA arena. It's just a different feel, and that's a concern. It's just how Indiana deals with that kind of environment.
Talking with Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. Big Ten tournament as a whole, how do you feel about things in general going into things, given how the regular season finished up, not just for Indiana but a lot of teams? Who do you see coming out of that? Who are your favorites to win the Big Ten tournament in Chicago?
Ooh, this is a really difficult one to predict. You know, Michigan State got the big win over Michigan, but I don't know how effective Nick Ward will be for him. He's coming back from, you know, an injury that'll maybe have him with a big wrap on his hand and maybe just giving him some minutes off the bench and not really being the Nick Ward that we remember, at least not the first week or two back. I think I like Michigan. Michigan's a pretty good team. They just need to get the outside shooting hot. And Wisconsin, I think, might be a team to watch out for. They always seem to play well in the Big Ten tournament. And they have, you know, still have the guy to go to in the inside, Ethan Happ, and their draw, is pretty favorable, in my opinion. So I would say Michigan and Wisconsin has come to mind. If you ask, and I haven't really given it a lot of thought. I will say this. I don't think drawing Michigan State is as bad as everyone likes to think. You can't beat a team three times. For Indiana, I don't think that's true. I think that, especially with Nick Ward, maybe not able to beat the true Nick Ward, it's not a bad draw because the matchups are fairly decent. Robert Finney guards Cassius Winston really well. And when you beat a team twice, there's usually reasons.
Absolutely. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, the Pegs IU website, with us. I want to talk a little recruiting to close things out today. We've got to start with Trace Jackson Davis. I wasn't sure, and again, this is guilty as charged as far as just looking at scores and reading, you know, reports on games, but I kept seeing low-scoring Center Grove games, and I know Trace was still scoring a lot of those points that were scored by Center Grove, but you just got the feeling that teams were holding the ball against them, which they were, and that the team maybe wasn't playing as well as what they could. That's really maybe not true. They get some up-and-down basketball in Seymour on Saturday. Trace Jackson Davis continues to lead the way. He was really able to show his stuff in that night game against the Bloomington South team. Of course, Center Grove is headed to Ascena State on Saturday, one game away from going to the state championship game in Baker's Life. If there was a race for Mr. Basketball, we may have just lost Mike, but if there was a race for Mr. Basketball, I'm not sure that there is anymore with what Trace Jackson Davis did Saturday at the regional and almost, I think, within 1 point of outscoring the Bloomington South team by himself. If there was a race, though, he's the clear winner. And he probably would have still been the winner, even if Center Grove not made it out of maybe sectional or regional. He's committed to Indiana. He's one of the highest-ranked nationally prospects. He's been on that radar, that stage now for a number of years. But Trace Jackson Davis with a huge performance on Saturday. And, Mike, before we lost you, I was just saying if there was a race for Mr. Basketball that was going to be competitive, I think Trace Jackson Davis took another big step forward in winning that award with what he did on Saturday for his Center Grove team, especially in that regional championship game at Seymour.
Yeah, I think he was going to win going away anyway, but he put his, you know, emphasis on it, and so there'll be no doubt. You know, a lot of people have been saying he's a big game kind of player, and that was never more evident than Saturday. I was there, and he was ready to play from the get-go in both games. You know, Bloomington South tried to double him, but were very late to their doubles, and Trace really took advantage of that, turning in both ways and scoring over anybody that Bloomington South put against him. And it was really impressive performance. It was, you know, wasn't 40 that was padded by some late free throws. It was 40 that was pretty even throughout the contest.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com. Mike, thank you for being with us today. We'll talk with you, some of your team later in the week from the Big Ten tournament, and again, talk with you next week.
All right, Matt. We'll talk to you then. Thank you.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com, with us on this Tuesday. Couple announcements as we close things out. Again, we've got IU Thursday. That's a 12:30 start in the game against Ohio State. Pre-game coverage with Don Fisher from Chicago begins at 11:30, and that means that we're going to adjust things here on the Hoosier Report for Thursday. So we'll be on with you at least for an hour, which means 10:30, but possibly even earlier. I'll have some final plans for that tomorrow and let you know, but we're going to give you some bonus coverage heading into that big Ohio State game. And again, another must-win game for IU. No matter what people think moving beyond that game, we know Thursday they've got to win. Big game to get another win on the record. Big game because Ohio State is also on the bubble block as well. So for many reasons, it's a big one for Indiana in their opening game from Chicago. Also Thursday night, if you didn't hear earlier in the show, we are live from Serdano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. We'll have Coach Brandon Hoffman and the entire Silver Creek basketball team with us. We'll spend an hour talking with each player and also Coach Hoffman getting ready for Saturday's big game. A one-game semi-state at Seymour. Silver Creek will take on Crispus Attucks of Indianapolis with the winner of that game going to be the South representative in the Class 3A state championship game on Saturday. So a big opportunity and a big weekend ahead. There's a lot of excitement in the Silver Creek community about this team. And we'll get them all together and celebrate their accomplishments and talk with them about the weekend that's ahead. Thursday night from 7 to 8 here on the Big X. But we invite you to join us at Serdano's for that show as well. Have dinner, listen to the Silver Creek team and Coach Hoffman, and get ready for the semi-state. That'll wrap things up. Big Ten tournament starts tomorrow. Lots of college games on today. I think maybe the ACC starts later today. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 o'clock right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.